Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
And I'm Father Philip Ogacki. I'm the pastor at both Christ King and St. Bernard parishes, which are in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, here in the Milwaukee area.
In the beautiful town, is it a town legally or?
It's a city. There's part of the city that's called the Village of Wauwatosa, but that's like an honorary title. At one point, it was a village, but we just kind of call it that. And that's where St. Bernard's is. It's in a really, really great location in what we call the Village of Wauwatosa. But the reality is it's in the city.
So here we are on the second Sunday in Lent, or discussing the gospel for the second Sunday in Lent. One thing we could explain, first Sunday in Lent, we read from whatever gospel we are reading that cycle of readings that year. It's Mark this year, then we read the Temptations, then the second Sunday in Lent, we read the gospel that we'll read today, the Transfiguration.
So how about I read that?
And you are reading Mark's gospel, chapter 9, we jumped, verses 2 to 10.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant.
There will be a time to proclaim the resurrection. It clearly is not that time yet, because Jesus tells them what we call the messianic secret, very present in Mark's gospel, when Jesus tells his disciples not to tell anybody yet, I think. Why? Because I don't think they are ready. It shows here that the disciples are failing probably to understand exactly what Jesus is about. They are getting to know him and to accept his teachings. There are many cues here that the disciples still are not in a place of comprehension yet. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. So let's go back to where we were last week, still working through chapter 1 of Mark's gospel. Part of what's happening there is Jesus, when he calls the first disciples, this goes back to ordinary time a number of weeks ago, calls his first disciples and works his way early on in his ministry. It's so slow and so deliberate for that reason. And here, that's still the case. I think I've only come to appreciate, as time goes on, as I get older in life, the fact that of what you're observing, that there's a certain pacing in what Jesus does here. And it is clear in Mark's gospel, this messianic secret. And you're right. I think you've observed very well in the past as we've talked about this, that there's a lot of beauty in this scene here as well. There's also a sense of, you know, these closest people to Jesus really kind of misunderstand some things as well. Like it reveals a real
humanity.
It's
very ironic at the end when it says they're wondering what coming back from the dead may mean. I mean, it's not that difficult to understand from an intellectual point of view. Jesus is preaching the resurrection, but they need time to understand. And you see it also with Simon Peter saying, "Let's stay here." No, and Jesus will take them down the mountain, because that's when things happen. Mm-hmm. Up the mountain is the place of the encounter with God in the Old Testament. And this whole voice coming from heaven and saying, "This is my beloved Son. listen to him because maybe they were not totally listening, maybe because of those temptations that we discussed last week. But now Jesus takes them down the mountain, and that's where things happen. And they would prefer to stay there and to place Jesus in that moment of glory that certainly is not what Jesus wants.
So yes, there's a transfiguration in Jesus' identity being clear, but this is a really big deal. There could be no greater amount of clarity provided here by God the Father in connecting Jesus to salvation history. Elijah and Moses are present there, you know, are present in some way conversing with Jesus. It's so entirely clear that this is a connection here, that this is the Messiah. So it's not like one of many events, although it's going to become clear that Jesus is the Messiah in other ways. But it's so clear. And that's why it really is kind of remarkable in the way that the closest disciples of Jesus respond and that they're still a little uncertain about this. You know, the whole point of God allowing this to happen is so there's no uncertainty.
Don't you wish that this would happen to you when you are being questioned and a voice from heaven would say, "This is Philip, this is your pastor, listen to him."
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what is happening here.
Right.
Jesus is being questioned by his own disciples. They love him and they have felt attracted to him enough that they left everything behind. But if the voice from heaven says, "Listen to him," it's because they were not listening. So it's what you were saying before. There is this tension between this moment of glory, but the reality that Jesus has a hard time getting his disciples to really understand him, and it will take time.
So allow me to be a little more positive then to
sure.
the disciples, and just to look at that last line. They kept the matter to themselves, but questioning what rising from the dead meant. It's clear that at least amongst themselves they're talking about this. They're thinking about this. They're actively engaged here. They're not ignorant. And that's what I appreciate. They might be a little slow. They have some human weaknesses, but they engage in this. And sometimes that's just what's so very important. That's basic discipleship, is being present to Jesus, but just kind of actively engaging with that. And they might seem basic or easy, but it's what a lot of us can fall short in. And it's what a lot of people just don't do. They just don't question life or reality or really the beautiful gift of life that God has provided. Even if they don't understand it, do they question it, engage with it? So I will give that to the disciples. As they start to move down the mountain now and on the road, they're questioning what this is all about.
I agree with you. I would suggest that they are pondering the way that Simeon told Mary and Mary pondered all these things. Yes, I agree with you. They are ruminating, you say, when you, like cows that eat and ruminate.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. They are getting the information. They are experiencing what they have seen. The other thing we know is that Jesus comes down the mountain and let's move. You know, he tells them, let's go to Jerusalem. Jesus didn't wait, something that you have said so many times in this podcast. He didn't wait for them to understand perfectly. He said, we got to move on, and,
right.
and moved on they will.
Right. That's the brevity of Mark's gospel, too. It gives us energy, this energy moving forward, and you see it in many places, sometimes just the way it's composed.
It's interesting that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to go with him, and you made a reference to the call of the disciples. These are the three first disciples he calls mm-hmm. also, and we know that he calls these three before calling Matthew, actually, the Levite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the pure Jewish Hebrew disciples. It's very interesting that there is a reference there. And also that the voice will say the same thing that we hear in the baptism. And to the point that in Mark it will say the same. There's a little change in Luke and Matthew, but whatever the voice said at the baptism is what the voice will say at the transfiguration. Exactly the same words. And that's interesting.
Right. I love the word beloved. So think about that as we pray on that beautiful label that's given to Jesus, and just to contemplate that way that God looks upon us. And I've been thinking a lot about it. I may have mentioned, I can't remember this year, but just those labels that we use for ourselves. I've thought about this in some homilies and how those aren't the labels that God uses, you know, especially as we're just struggling with psychological issues, depression, anger, a lot of things, but especially this last year. We can be kind of hard on ourselves in terms of those labels, an addict or an alcoholic or whatever it might be, or not good enough, not holy enough. But God says, you're my beloved, as he says to Jesus. And that just stands out to me as it did at the baptism.
One thing to put what Jesus said that I heard recently is that we tell ourselves things that we wouldn't dare to tell anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't find something and you say, what an idiot, you know, and you are calling yourself an idiot when you wouldn't call anybody else an idiot. That happens to me all the time. I keep losing things. For instance, I had a meeting this morning. I took a piece of document that I needed. Then I forgot where I had put it. I couldn't find it anywhere. I wasn't being nice to me. I can assure you of that. And we wouldn't say that to anybody. And we say it to ourselves, yeah.
Right. All right. Anything else that we should chat about?
I think I'm fine. Just a reminder, as we will see in the preface, that Elijah and Moses represent the law, the prophets and the law. We know that. And it's interesting that the text refers to Elijah, which is not, it's not Isaiah, which is the prophet of choice of Jesus and the New Testament writers. Elijah is the triumphant prophet. It's another prophetic tradition. And I think there is something to reflect about there, but maybe for another day.
Good. Well, let's keep going in this Lenten season. Great opportunity here. Yeah, we'll come back next week and talk more.
Any special giving up you did? Any special sacrifice for Lent?
I was not very concrete about it this year. I've got a few things that I've been adjusting and doing, but I kind of started them at the beginning of the year as well. I'm intensifying them here now.
So now everybody says it, and it's become very popular in many Catholic circles. But a few years ago, it was original to say, ask somebody who loves you what you should give up for Lent, and they will not say chocolate.
Yeah.
I've seen many places where they say it's not about just giving up chocolate. It's about giving up attitudes or things that are more ingrained. And I think you would add, as you have done the last two podcasts, about especially during this pandemic time, all these personality peeps that have been especially intensified by this difficult time.
What about you?
Well, yes.
Okay, yeah.
It's in that realm, in the realm of my reaction to things, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a mechanism I'm my mother's son, and we tend to say things too quickly sometimes. I need to establish some kind of buffer between my brain and my mouth, and that's what I'm working on.
Yeah. Something similar in my area as well, as reaction to others, and well, good luck. All right. Next week. See you next week. Would that be good?
I will see you there.
All right. Take care.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.